Welcome to the Voices.Earth podcast series. Today we're speaking with Louis Horn, the CEO of Unity, a very dynamic Swedish company that is reinventing city transportation with its mass market electric city car that brings a new approach to safety and sustainability. And Louis, how are you doing today?
Good, thanks.
Excellent. Well, let's start at the top. Really appreciate it. Yeah, no, it's great to have you. And as I mentioned at the top of the call before the recording, we're super excited to talk with you all today because Unity seems to be doing something really special when it comes to electric cars. And, you know, let's talk about that. Let's start at the top. Tell us about, you know, the company's history, your vision behind essentially reinventing city transportation.
Yeah, I mean, I've been sort of following the developments in the automotive industry for some time. I'm a kind of a professional entrepreneur from the beginning, and I've done a lot of different things. But this has been particularly interesting for me because I realized how damaging parts of the automotive industry are, why they are that way, and how we can transition to something better. And that's kind of how this all started in the Social Innovation Center at Lund University. I was the director of the center at the time. I founded it some years before. And the idea of the center was to accelerate and support radical innovations that address grand challenges. And it was within that center that Unity sort of began. And I looked at a lot of the problems, a lot of the reasons why we can't change everything from the supply chain structure of automotive to the cultural factors and the behavioral factors, and try to look for opportunities to change it to something more sustainable. And obviously, we have now this great shift towards electric cars. Certainly here in Europe and many parts of Asia, it's a big new thing. We recognize that this technology is really fundamentally different. And if it's sustainability that's driving it, and you know, we know the main problem with vehicle sustainability is either in the production of the battery or in the manufacturing of the car. So we know the vehicle should be lightweight so that we can be more resource efficient on the battery, but also be more resource efficient throughout the entire manufacturing process for the vehicle.
That's great. You know, tell us a little bit about the vehicles. What makes them different and unique?
Yeah. Well, basically, the vehicle itself is made from recyclable carbon fiber. So the carbon fiber itself is made from bio origins and has a significantly lower, or about 75% lower, carbon impact than the carbon fiber that it replaces. At the end of its life, it can be recycled, so we can separate the resin from the fiber. The resin becomes a thermoplastic and the fiber remains undamaged, so it can be used again. So basically, it's much leaner in manufacturing. We can manufacture in a significantly more automated process, which we do as part of a partnership with Siemens. So we take care of it at the start of its life, and at the end of its life, we can recycle it a lot easier. Other than carbon fiber, we have a lot of biomaterials, sort of biocomposites, cellulose and hemp fibers and so forth in the car. And then the logic of the vehicle, as said, it's a lot lighter weight. It's about 450 kilograms, which means we can get a lot further on a lot smaller battery. And then, obviously, a vehicle that only makes sense is not enough to reach the masses. It has to be really exciting. It has to have an exciting design. And also the way we interact with the machine and the way we operate it should be, you know, a little more modernized, we think. The old mechanical means of operating a car, you know, has to be replaced at some point in our human history. And we think that time will come when the technology is mature enough, when the people are ready for something new, and when there's a sufficiently good design to cause that change. And, of course, that's what we think we have. With our means of operating the vehicle using electronics instead of, you know, mechanical steering wheel and mechanical pedals and on all of those components.
Wow, that's great. Really exciting stuff. So, Louis, tell us about your current crowdfunding campaign and what you hope to achieve and, you know, the timing of the official launch.
Yeah, so with the crowdfunding campaign, basically, sort of when you start a new car company, there's obviously a lot of risks involved. And certainly if you have something really radical like what we're proposing, there's a lot of risk, and the biggest risk is the public acceptance. So for us, being a grassroots movement and having a wide crowd behind us is really critical, because we start with that public buy-in. So that's what the crowdfunding campaign is all about to us. We had a campaign about a year ago where we gained about 370 investors from 28 different countries. That's what we finally took in anyway. We had to close the campaign off a little early. But now, just before we unveil the vehicle platform in Sweden later this year, we want to have another round and just invite a whole lot more people on board with us. It's not really for funding purposes per se. It's more, just as said, to have a couple thousand more people owning a share in the company before we go live, and we have a really strong crowd movement behind us.
That's great. And when's the official go live date that you're aiming for?
For the vehicle launch?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you mean? Or for the crowdfunding campaign?
Yeah, for the vehicle launch.
Yeah, I mean...
Like when yeah, exactly.
Aiming for the end of November, but we won't publicly say that for a couple more weeks. But around about the end of November, we'll see it live. It'll be just an event in Sweden, a couple thousand people, a lot of global press and so forth, and we'll demo the vehicle, and we'll probably make it available for pre-orders in certain countries.
That's
probably
great.
Not America, though.
Not yet, right? Step by step. So,
Real
quick, let's shift here, because you know, obviously we're the Voices.Earth podcast series here, representing pretty much all things regarding the .Earth domain, and we noticed that your URL for your website, the core website, is unity.earth. Why did you all choose a .Earth domain name, and how did that come about?
I should say off the bat here, we're not a B Corp yet, but we're working towards becoming a B Corp very soon. For the listeners that aren't familiar with what that is, it just means that you have the same legal requirement to deliver shareholder value, but you also state publicly that this company is intended to achieve something else or to create some other kind of positive impact for society. And you change your articles of association so that you kind of stipulate that legally that's what your intention is. So for us, having a .com didn't really make sense, because a .com is, it means your business is fundamentally there for commercial purposes. Our business is fundamentally here for purposes of, you know, improving life on the planet and life for society, addressing the health problems of vehicle emissions and the sustainability problems. Of course, commerce is still critical, but it's just a tool. For us, it is a tool that we use to achieve our outcomes. It's a very powerful tool. We need to keep our tools sharp. We need to have big, shiny tools so that more investors want to, you know, support our challenge, but it's still just a tool. The primary objective of the company is not just commerce. So we don't even own the .com of unity.com. We don't even want it. And I think it's really positive that now there's a lot of companies going to unity.earth. Yeah.
That's great.
I mean, it kind of fits with our brand as well.
Yeah, that's what we figured. With a lot of people that we speak with. Yeah, it totally fits with kind of the brand and, like you said, sustainability and the like. So that's really exciting stuff to hear that perspective. Let's talk about the future. Obviously, you know, you got the funding campaigns, you got the launch that's officially coming up. As I imagine, the ultimate goal is you know, near ubiquity in most European, Asian, and even United American cities for your vehicles, right?
Yeah, I mean, initially we'll go out all around Israel. Initially we'll go all around Europe, Israel, and the Middle East. We also have a manufacturing plant underway in Australia to service the Australian market. Asia is really important. I think India will be a first port of call. We'll have to make some adjustments to the model there, but in terms of vehicle regulations, we can basically directly enter those markets. And North America is certainly on the cards, but there's some different regulatory environment there. I think our vehicle would have to be capped at a certain speed limit or something. So we have to work around some legal issues there. It's not in the normal vehicle class. It's why the vehicle can be so different. It's in a different regulatory class that's not compatible with the USA just yet.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. You know, Lewis, this has been a wonderful podcast. And again, we're super excited that you all agreed to speak with us today, especially because Unity is certainly kind of shaking things up in an amazing way when it comes to transportation. Anything else to add today? Anything we may have missed?
No, just thanks, you guys, for having a great service and promoting companies that are trying to do good here. It's really valuable. And if anybody listens to this and wants to check us out, we're on social media, and we have a lot of exciting bits of news and events coming up soon to keep an eye out for.
Great. That's a perfect way to end this Voices Dot Earth podcast interview with Lewis Horn, CEO of Unity. And as we discussed, Unity is a very dynamic Swedish company that is reinventing city transportation with its mass market electric city car that brings a new approach to safety and sustainability. And Lewis, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks for having me.